Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And, well, let's see. I think there's probably a few current events out there that we could look at and some other things. And of course, we're now in December, and Christmas is right around the corner, and so we'll be talking about some things related to Christmas here, perhaps tonight and in the next several weeks as we lead up to Christmas. But in the meanwhile, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program and use us for your glory tonight. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord. And again, just pray that you would just bless for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis and host of Live with Pastor Al. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And if you go online to our website at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find out more about our program, more about me. You can listen to some past programs there. A lot of people don't realize that we're on Friday afternoon for a half an hour as well, every Friday afternoon right here on AM 1220 The Word from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. Those programs are there, plus both of our Sunday night hours, the 11 o'clock or the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. And when you look at them, you can see them both listed separately for the 2 hours there. And so that's all available live at pastoral.com. And I've got my latest article up there, The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well. And we may talk about that later on the program tonight. And let's see, you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. We're a small church. I'm not merely the associate pastor or assistant pastor. I'm the only pastor. So that's our home church. And main sponsor of the program, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can click over and follow the link to our Richfield Bible Baptist Church page. And just want to let you know that coming up in a few weeks on Christmas Eve, we have our Christmas Eve candlelight service. That'll be in lieu of our regular Sunday night service. Normally we have a Sunday night service, 6 o'clock every Sunday night. I'm currently actually preaching through the book of Proverbs, but this particular time on Christmas Eve, we are going to take a break from that, and then we're going to have our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service. So we'll be talking more about that as we get closer. And you can also find some things there at live with, or, yes, at our church page there, including directions how to get to us. And just let you know, we are located in Richfield at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And I emphasize Suite 200 because we're in a commercial strip there. It's not a standalone building. If you're looking for a standalone building with a steeple, you won't find us. But if you're looking for our door at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, that's at the intersection of Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road, and near the intersection of 271, Interstate 271 and Interstate 77. So just right there in the center of Richfield. Well, I'd love to have you check things out and visit us. If you've not got a place to go that preaches the Word of God, I hope you come out and give us a visit. We've got our regular services on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. At 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And then every Friday night, we have a Bible study. It's an informal Bible study where you bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and we just enjoy some fellowship and informal Bible study. We've got refreshments and different things, and we just discuss and talk about the Word of God and what's happening in the world and ask questions, trying to understand the Word of God and current events in light of God's Word, kind of like what we do on the radio as well. So anyway, we'd love to have you visit us there. So check us out online live at pastoral.com. And in the meanwhile, as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got several people lined up. We've got John Brown calling in with an update here this evening. And John Brown, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Good to have you with us tonight.
All right, thank you for taking my call. Well, as we discussed last week, the group of bold Christian men plan to go give a gospel witness up against a drag queen story hour next week on Saturday, December 9th, outside of the Near West Theater in West Cleveland, near the Lakewood, Ohio City neighborhood. Which, of course, that's known for being a rather, shall we say, progressive neighborhood, I guess. Next Saturday, it's later than it normally is. We're asking people be in place by 2 o'clock outside of the Near West Theater. That address is 6002 Detroit Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio. We'll be protesting this, we believe, a very wicked event and trying to warn people that, you know, that they're going to give account to God for the children God has entrusted to them, and that they're misleading.
And, of course, what time is that again you're going to be there?
Yeah, we're asking people be in place by 2. The show is probably 3 to 5, but this is much later in the day than it normally is because it's part of the pro-sodomite event Snow Day in Detroit Shoreway. It used to be called Wintertide, I guess, and it was a family event, but now they've made it much more blatantly in-your-face pro-homosexual. Mm-hmm. And the LGBT Community Center, which is just across the street from the theater, is going to have their Queer the Halls craft show or whatever. I don't really know a whole lot about what's going on there other than that it's a pro-sodomite event. So we're going to get there, you know, well before the show starts to make sure we're in place, to bear witness to the truth, to the parents and children going into the show, as well as the people who are there opposing us, you know, quote, protecting. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, they don't need to protect anything because we're not going to be attacking them. We are not there to commit violence or even threaten violence or anything like that. If there's any violence, it will be them using it against us, which does occasionally happen, but, you know, you know, praise the Lord, nothing serious has ever happened. We've came kind of close a couple times, but nothing serious has happened. The Cleveland police have done a commendable job in protecting us and protecting our right to free speech. Please pray devil's got my tongue tonight. Please pray that continues to happen and that we're continued to give in liberty to, you know, use our megaphones and signs and banners and everything. But so, again, next Saturday, December 9th, 2 o'clock outside of the Near West Theater at 6702 Detroit Avenue. If you have the Telegram social media app, which I highly recommend for anyone who's involved in this, any kind of political events, obviously there's some crazies on there like every app, but the Telegram social media app, if you look for OCA1729, t.me/OCA1729, we have a small group there that we only use to announce if we have to cancel or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We've never had to cancel one yet, Lord willing, but if we did have to cancel for some reason, we would like to be able to communicate that to as many people as possible. But you're welcome to bring your own signs as long as they're on topic and not, you know, obscene or anything. We have a couple Christian flags that we'll be, you know, be flying and things. We do have plenty of signs, though. We'll have plenty of signs. We'll need a few people to hold a banner. So you can just come with just yourself, and we'll have something for you.
All right. And then, of course, if people can't make it, certainly they can join you in prayer during that time as well, because that's definitely something that needs to be bathed in prayer. So appreciate that.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor, for your time. I don't want to, you know, take up too much of your program tonight. I know you got some important stuff lined up. I just want to remind people about the Drag Queen Story Hour protest next Saturday, December 9th, 2 o'clock, outside of Near West Theater. Whether you can come or not, please pray for spiritual impact, you know, that we plant a seed that will bear fruit in someone's heart, even if it's not, you know, Lord willing, 20, 30 years from now when these little children grow up. We try to tell them, hey, you know, Jesus will always take you back no matter what you've done.
Right.
Hopefully that, you know, hopefully that goes somewhere. We usually hand out some tracts to some passersby. Pray for impact, pray for safety, pray for favorable police presence. You know, obviously we don't, all we ask of the police is that they, you know, protect our rights and don't impede us and protect people from attacking us. And praise the Lord, the Cleveland police has done a commendable job the last three times.
Very good.
Please pray that they continue to do so.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in tonight, letting us know, and certainly encourage people, if you can make it, be there. If you can't, certainly be in prayer. So appreciate
right.
that. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Pastor.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that call tonight. And then, of course, we also, all of us need to be aware of the threats that are out there. And you know, it's our responsibility as Christians to be salt and light. And what that means is we are supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to make a difference, not just in our churches, but also in the culture around us. And that reminds me of something I was reading earlier today that I think I'll bring up later, but we've got some phone calls, so I'll save that. But we do need to be salt and light. We need to be involved, and we need to take a stand and to uphold our biblical values out in the public marketplace as well as in private. So appreciate what they're doing. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673, and we have Patty calling in tonight, I believe. Patty, welcome to the program tonight. Hello, do we have Patty there?
Hello?
Hello, wow, we got you. I can hear you now.
Oh, hold on, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
That's all right.
Hold on.
Uh-huh. We can hear fine here. And all set there?
You want me to wait?
No, you're ready. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
I'm depressed. My son is suffering from depression. He can't seem to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that meets his needs. And I'm praying for a financial miracle so I can get out of this crazy city I live in. I'm scared to death. I have three children that live with me, even though they're grown.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no money for a down payment for a house. So I keep praying to Jesus, please give me money, please, just to buy a home. That's all I want, away from the city. And again, my son Joey's depressed. He's suicidal. He scares the heck out of me. I don't know what to do anymore. You know, and he wants to, he's on his way out the door, and I'm praying that he has a sense to come back and calm down, you know. And doing that, a problem with my landlord. It's like I have too much going on. It's crazy. I just need a miracle for my son and for that. I know I should be calling, and I want to also pray for Israel also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely Israel.
Yeah, well, we can certainly have some prayer for you here tonight and pray that God will open up some doors for you. So if that'll help, be glad to do that.
Especially my son, he's really depressed, and I'm worried about him.
Right. You said your one son's looking for a job?
Well, he's looking for a good-paying job.
Right, right. I understand that, because a lot of times, you know, people say, well, how come you don't have work? There's work out there. But it depends on, you know, something that makes enough to make it to where you can afford to work sometimes.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand that. If you can't afford the gasoline and the things necessary to get to your job to work,
right.
it makes it kind of hard, and so understandable there, especially with the cost today of different things. But and if you're trying to get ahead,
it's scary because it's a sign of the times, and I'm praying that Trump gets back in. You know,
yeah,
I think he's an excellent president. He always gets attacked. Anyway, it's more. This is more about right now me getting a home, and about my son definitely. Like that, he calms down, comes to his senses, finds a good paying job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. I know it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's have a word of prayer then, if you don't mind. Well, we can do that right now.
Sure.
And I know people hear what's going on. They'll want to pray too. So we just certainly want to pray. Lord, we just pray for Patty tonight, Lord, that you would just intercede, Lord, with her and her family, and know the situation better than certainly myself or our listeners do, having just heard a few things. You know what's on her heart, Lord, and you know the struggles and you know the difficulties and the desire to be able to get ahead and to have their own home and to be able to have a place that they can afford. And certainly understand the desire that she has for her family, for her children, for her sons. Even though they may be older, they're certainly her sons. They're her children still. And there's a concern of a mother for her child, for her children. So we just pray that you would just, again, just come alongside Patty, Lord. We just pray that you would just give her peace, give her assurance, and pray that you give her direction and open doors for her. We pray for her son that is depressed and certainly struggling with suicidal thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would just get a hold of his attention, Lord, and make yourself real to him in some way, even now, Lord, that he would see your hand moving in his life. And we pray that you might even open up a job that to pay something that he can be able to begin to get ahead. And we just pray again as we think of the situation with Patty and her family. And we just pray that you would just surround her with your hand of protection and just encourage her. And again, we just pray that you would help her also in locating perhaps even a good church family near her where she can be surrounded with people pray for her and her family. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. And I really... I'm going to go home and put your show on right now.
Well,
but I'm going to say thank you to everyone, and I'm going to be praying for world peace tonight, that's for sure.
Well, and certainly, and we do pray for Jerusalem, like or Israel, like you said, but at the same time, we need to pray one for another where we're at here, and hopefully you can get involved with a decent church in your area. Because what you need in the long term is a good family where you can know your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, know that you and your sons all are walking with the Lord, that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. And then as you have a family of believers, a church family, that can come alongside of you. It's amazing the resources that God can bring into your lives when you're in that sort of a situation. So that's what I would certainly encourage you, get involved in a good church in your area.
Real quickly, I went to this one church today. Mm-hmm. And I started to tear and cry because I was praising God. It was in a different language, but because I was the only, and I hate to say it, but I was the only white female there. People were looking at me, and I asked for a pamphlet. They're like, it's just for members only.
Mm.
But the language, it was a different language. They said they were French, but they looked Jamaican. I'm like, okay, whatever. I still stayed there anyway. And then I left. I'm like, and I said, you know, what is wrong with this place? I said to a couple of people. I said, it's not supposed to be about skin color. It's supposed to be about God, the church. And I told them that.
Yeah.
I said, that's not right. These are hypocrites. And I said that to them.
Mm.
You have to, you know, and that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I said that, but I was speaking the truth. You're of God. You accept everyone of every color, every nationality. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I
was just going to say, if you would like, when I let you go here, if you want to give our call screener your phone number, your name and phone number, and where you're at, I can maybe get you some information on some churches maybe to check out in your area.
Yeah, there is one that's of Billy Graham, but it's a little bit of a hike to get to, so. But I will make it over there soon. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're on the air.
Okay.
And I appreciate everyone listening.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I'm appreciating you.
And I certainly encourage people to continue to pray for you and your sons, and appreciate that in the midst of what you're going through, you're still motivated to pray for Israel and the things that are happening in the world as well. So we'll just ask God to continue to bless. So
definitely. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great evening.
Well, thank you. You too, and thank you for calling us tonight. Appreciate that. All right. God bless. Appreciate the call there, and do encourage people to pray for Patty and her family. And you know, that's what we're supposed to do for each other. We're supposed to pray one for another. And so I thank you for knowing. I know there's people listening right now who are going to pray. And you know, what was it? The Radio Bible Church used to be on. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He's with the Lord now. The older gentleman that used to run it. And he used to always make the statement, you know, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. So appreciate that. So you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. And we'd love to get you on the air with us here this evening. And I believe we've got Nancy, who's also waiting to be on with us here tonight. And we'll get Nancy on the air here, too. Nancy, are you with us there? All right.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
All right. Good to have you with us tonight. So,
thank you for taking my call. My question tonight or comment is regarding the spiritual condition of Israel. Now, we know Genesis 12, 1, I will bless, God says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And then we also know Zechariah 2, 8, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. But I'm just thinking, and I don't know if all this is true or not. I've heard that Israel is the most homosexual accepting country in the Middle East. You know, they're all for lesbian, transgender rights, homosexual rights. And then also, I don't know if this is true, but I did hear that, and I'm sure you could tell me if it is or not, that if someone preaches salvation on the streets of Israel, that they will be arrested. So Israel herself, in my opinion, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that by these actions, Israel herself is cursing God by doing these ungodly things. And so, I mean, if Israel herself is cursing God, God said that they will curse and the curse is Israel. But if Israel is cursing God by these actions, it just seems very ironic to me that we're, you know, behind Israel so much. I know that every country sins and then they redeem themselves. And I'm just wondering also, do you think that God allowed these 1,400 people to be killed because Israel is sinning? You know, I just don't know. It's this whole thing is very confusing to me. Thank you.
Yeah, you had a lot in there. And you started asking about the spiritual condition of Israel and all. But one thing I'll address immediately, and that's the idea that you can be arrested for preaching the gospel on the streets. That's really not true. There are a lot of Christians in Israel that are preaching. In fact, there's a group, the Slavic Gospel Association, that is working heavily in Ashkelon right now. They're Christians who are reaching out to the Jewish population. And these are people who actually they're Jewish by ethnicity, and they are going in taking food and supplies to some people who have been impacted by the October 7 and following events, and they're using it as an opportunity to share the gospel with these people. And so there's a lot of places where things like that take place. One of the things, too, the many tourists that come through, there's a lot of Christian tour groups that go through, and they're in public places proclaiming the gospel oftentimes. But something that does happen periodically is the Orthodox, particularly the ultra-Orthodox, periodically propose laws to try and ban Christians from being able to go out. But one thing I will guarantee you, Christians have greater freedom to proclaim the gospel in Israel than they do in the surrounding Muslim countries. Much greater freedom. Now, you will get into some areas where there are Orthodox Jews in particular, especially the ultra-Orthodox, who will resist and object to you being there preaching the gospel. And much in the sense that the Apostle Paul did before he put his faith in Christ and followed Christ as the Messiah. And the reason was Paul believed that people were following a false Messiah, that they were heretics, and it was his job to defend the faith and stamp out the heretics. And I said this at our church. I've said it on the radio before. If I really believed that Jesus Christ was a false Messiah, I would be Jewish and I would be fighting against Christians because, after all, we would be heretics. If we follow a false Messiah, we are heretics. Anybody following a false Messiah is a heretic. And so if I were Jewish and I believed that Christians were heretics, sure, I'd be fighting them if I was, you know, had the same attitude, you know, that I have today as a Christian, because I believe that somebody who proclaims that Jesus Christ is not the true Messiah, that they're in a sense, a heretic, you know, because they're preaching false teaching. It's a false teaching that Jesus is not the Messiah. And so I fight against it. Does it mean that I'm going to go out and use violence against people who don't believe like I do? And that would probably be the bulk of the Jewish people that don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're not going out advocating violence for it. But there are always, just like there are in the Christian community, some people who get a little extreme with some of their things, and certainly there have been proposals from time to time, and they usually get shot down. In some local areas, you may find more resistance to it, just like you do in Muslim areas such as Dearborn, Michigan. You're not going to get too good a reception preaching the gospel on the streets there. But as I said before, and we do have the break coming up, and we can continue this on the other side of the break. But as I said before, you have greater freedom to preach the gospel as a Christian and to live as a Christian and to worship as a Christian in Israel than you do in any other place in the Middle East. That also brings you to the other part of your question about homosexuals in Israel. There's a very good reason. Actually, there are several reasons. One is that Israel is essentially a secular state, and we'll, Lord willing, get to that on the other side of the break. But the other reason is that you simply can't practice the homosexuality and all this transvestite, transgender nonsense in the Arab countries around Israel. They will simply kill you. The favored method of dealing with the LGBTQ people in, say, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, throw them off the roof of a tall building. I mean, that's not something that we make up to make fun of them, but it's what they do. So there's a very good reason that there's a lot of the LGBTQ activity in Israel, and more so than anywhere else in the Middle East. It's because in Israel, they have a free society, and it's allowed, whereas in the rest of the countries around there, they're Muslim-dominated, and the Muslim laws make it nearly impossible for the LGBTQ community to openly express themselves. I'm not saying it's not there, because periodically you see or hear about someone being thrown off a building or in some other way persecuted for LGBTQ activity. So it's kind of a misnomer to say that that Israel would be a hotbed of heathenism because it got the most LGBTQ activity in the Middle East. They have the most because they were a free society, and they don't throw them off the buildings like they do in the surrounding Muslim states. But we do have a break coming. Nancy, if you hold on, we'll deal more about some of the spiritual background of Israel, where they're at today, and why it matters. So stay tuned. We got a break.
Thank you.
And we got another hour and a half to go, so stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me and the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, from there. That's, of course, the main sponsor of the program. And then we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you're out on the east side, even if you're on the west side, it's worth the drive. If you're down in Summit County where I'm at, it's worth the drive. East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Really easy to get to. And you can give them a call, East Coast Pizza, at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And that's simply some of the best pizza you're going to find. Also, If you are interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask to speak with Gus. He can help you get set up in your own business, not a franchise, but your own business. Or maybe you have a business, you already have a restaurant or a food business of some sort, and you'd like to add pizza to your menu. Just give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza, 216. I can't read my own writing here. Let me get my glasses straightened out here. Here we go again. Lost my place. 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And he can help you get set up there and answer any questions that you might have. Or if you just want a good pizza, check out East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call him, 216-341-9100. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to get back to our callers here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're talking with Nancy tonight. Nancy had a question about the spiritual aspect of Israel, the current state of Israel. We were talking about several things in the last half hour. Nancy, still with us there?
Yes, I just wanted to let you know you've already answered my skepticism about the spiritual condition of Israel, and I didn't realize that. I mean, I sort of did know that all the surrounding Arab nations around Israel are very, very unaccepting of any kind of homosexuality or whatever. So Israel is the only one that allows freedom. So that explains why, that explains that. And then also when I had heard, it was obviously fake news, that you are not allowed, Christians are not allowed to preach, especially on the street corner, because they will be arrested. And this is probably just a few of the ultra-Orthodox Jews, which are totally against, preaching salvation.
Right, right.
So thank you. You've already restored my, not that I,
And like I said before,
spiritual condition, but you explained it so well. Yeah. Thank you. So
well, I was going to say also, like I said before, I'm not saying that Christians aren't hassled for preaching the gospel in some parts of Israel, especially when you get into a more ultra-Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox community or something,
but
by the same token, they have freedom in Israel that they lack in the surrounding Muslim countries. And and I was also going to share two real quick here before you go. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we have the prophecy that Ezekiel gives, where he was carried by the Lord and he saw the valley of the dry bones. And I won't take the time to read through it, but I encourage people to read Ezekiel chapter 37. And it starts in verse 1 where it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." And this is a prophecy over Israel. And just to come down here for time's sake real quick, the dry bones represent the Jewish people who were defeated and scattered, and then they're brought back together. And we saw that happen, with Israel becoming a state. But when the dry bones came back together, and even when the flesh came upon them and they stood there as a great army, they had not yet the spirit of life in them. And that's where I believe Israel is today. It's a very powerful country, very powerful, very strong military, obviously, but they have not yet got the spirit of life in them because they're a secular country. There's a lot of religious Jews. There's a lot not just religious Jews, but there's a lot of completed Jews in Israel, who are Christian. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of Muslims in Israel. In fact, Muslims serve in the Israeli Defense Forces. They serve in the Knesset. I believe that there's one or two Jews, or I'm sorry, Muslims that are serving in the Israeli Supreme Court even. So and many of them have greater freedom to live out their faith in Israel than they would in some of the surrounding countries as well. So very interesting. But Israel as a whole is a secular state today. And one day the Jewish people who are there are going to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. And Romans chapter 11, Paul speaking prophetically says in Romans chapter 11, and verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, talking about a future time. And that's echoed also in Zechariah chapters 12 and 13 there, 11, 12, 13, around that area, about how some of that will take place. And at that point, the Spirit of life will enter into the Jewish nation, and they mm-hmm. will embrace Christ as their Messiah. And in mm-hmm. fact, I have an article online, if anybody wants to read it, I have an article online that is, it's entitled, "And So All Israel Shall Be Saved," where I talk about some of this stuff. And just go to mm-hmm. livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find that article, "And So All Israel Shall Be Saved." And there's some other articles and materials that are there that hopefully will be a help to people. So, but a good question tonight, Nancy. Appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Isn't it during the tribulation that one-third of the Jewish people will be saved, and then two-thirds of them will die during the tribulation? I don't know if I remember this.
You are close. It's not so much that only a third will be saved in terms of spiritual salvation. What it is that two-thirds of the Jewish people who enter the tribulation, who are alive at the beginning of the tribulation, two-thirds of them will die before the end of the tribulation, before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And only a third of the Jewish people will survive the tribulation period. Now, as to the number that gets saved, the Bible indicates that those who are alive, that third that's left at the end of the tribulation, that would be the fulfillment of Paul's statement that "and all Israel shall be saved." And so that will happen. But a number of other Jewish people who die during the tribulation will also embrace Christ as their Messiah. We have the 144,000, for instance, though they seem to live through the entire time, but they reach many people. So many of the two-thirds that die during the tribulation, many of them no doubt will be saved. So really more than a third will be saved. It's just that a third will make it physically through the tribulation, and physically they will be alive at the end of the tribulation, and they will see Christ and embrace Christ as their Messiah. So, but even so, I address that in that article, "And So All Israel Shall Be Saved." I wouldn't want to, put my chances in being a part of that small one-third that makes it alive, or even being in part of the ones that get saved and are martyred for the cause of Christ during the tribulation, because certainly it's not going to be a time that you wouldn't want anybody to go through. So we need to try and encourage people to put their faith in Christ today. But unfortunately, there is a blindness right now in part upon the Jewish people, but one day that veil will be removed, and they will be able to see that Jesus Christ is their Savior. So, yes, we pray for their salvation.
Okay. Thank you for explaining all that.
Thank you for the questions.
I bet that Terry's waiting.
Are correct. We do have Terry waiting as well, so we're just moving right along tonight. But appreciate that, Nancy. Thank you. Take care. God bless. Thank you for your call tonight. Good questions. And as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Terry, who's also patiently waiting for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening.
I was going to mention, that was a good observation of Nancy.
Yes, yes.
I'm kind of laughing a little bit about me calling in.
Uh-huh. So,
but anyway, yeah.
Well, and you know, people, I was going to say, people ask, you know, how come Terry and Nancy are on all the time? I said, well, they call in all the time. It's there's nothing that says anybody else can't call in. We've had a couple other people calling in tonight in addition to you and Nancy. So all it takes to get on Late Night Live with Pastor Al is to pick up the phone and dial 888-677-9673, and I can promise you, Kenny in there won't hang up on you. Well, he says maybe, I guess. It depends on how nice you are to him. But
yeah, I was going to mention the guy that actually introduced me to this station was Jamie that used to call in.
Oh, yeah, that's been quite some time ago. I remember. Yeah. I remember that. That he was also in Canada like you are, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he's the one that actually encouraged me to call.
Yes.
So then I did. And I've been hooked ever since.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you help us well, be an international program, so there.
Yeah, the bad news is that he passed away last week.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, you know,
yeah, I was going to mention that. I forgot to tell you.
And we look at that when we see a fellow believer pass away, and we mourn the separation and the loss in that respect. But at the same time, you know, we also know that we'll see them one day again in heaven. And that's why the Bible says precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints, you know, because we know we're going to someplace better. So.
Yeah. Well, one problem that it had, I don't know if I should mention this, but there's one problem that he had. He had a drinking problem.
Well, and, you know, everybody struggles with something. In fact, Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it was, talked about the casting aside the sins that so easily beset us. And, you know, when people point out somebody else's sin, oftentimes they kind of look over or try to distract you from the fact that they struggle with their own. And some of the sins that we struggle with are sometimes more visible or have greater effect on other people than some do. But everybody has besetting sins. And the thing for a believer is not to, essentially drown in that sin, but to try and let the Lord work with you to enable you to overcome it to the glory of God. Yeah. So,
and unfortunately, an alcoholic, as far as I'm concerned, because I used to be an alcoholic myself, but that's what I admitted that I was an alcoholic, and I admitted that I needed help.
So yes,
I got the help that I needed, and right directly from the source, which is Jesus.
Yeah, and it really is important to get the Lord's help in doing that. And, you know, while we're on the subject, you know, there's the organization Alcoholics Anonymous, which was actually started not too far from where I'm sitting, just down in Akron, Ohio. I've actually been by the very spot that it was started. And but what I was going to say is they've done a lot of good. They've helped a lot of people. But I think one of their critical downsides is that they downplay the Lord. They might talk about a higher power, and I know that different groups, you know, have different leeway in how much they can talk about the Lord, but, you know, ultimately it's going to take God in order to do it, and when God saves you, he no longer looks at you as an alcoholic. You may still have the problem with the flesh being, you know, prone to alcohol, but at the same time, you know, the Apostle Paul says, and such were some of you, meaning God's considering it in the past. And I say that would be one problem. The other problem, too, is that sometimes they elevate the local AA group above the local church. And so, but at the same time, having said all that, I know they have been instrumental in reaching a lot of people, helping a lot of people.
Yeah, I might be cutting out a little bit in a few minutes. My earpiece says my battery is low for some reason.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, I got the opportunity to read this booklet that somebody gave me. It's called The Birth of Christ on Thursday, this Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Birth of Christ.
They gave me the opportunity to read this.
Well, very good. Were you
Myself.
I'm sorry?
His name is Alfred B.
Yeah. I think I recall sending that to you. Where did you get a chance to read it at? Did you read it publicly somewhere or just reading it yourself?
No, I'm going to be reading it this Thursday.
Oh, it's coming up at church or something?
Christmas dinner. Yeah,
oh, very good. You know, and I'm glad you said that, and I would direct people to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and we will be talking about some of these things. I'm actually, I did this, I think, last year. I can't remember if I did this year before, but I try to collect some of the stuff I've written that sort of have a Christmas theme to them, and so they can all be sort of like together in one post on our website. And that link for the birth of Christ according to the scriptures, you can find at livewithpastoral.com. And one of the things that I encourage people to do is do just exactly what you're saying in order to help people focus on, you know, Jesus, as the old saying goes, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I just thank God for helping me put that together over a period of years, starting when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands with a booklet that somebody else had put together, and then just kind of improving on it and kind of tinkering with it so that there would be no extraneous words. It's merely the King James Bible. There's no extraneous words of any kind, and in it I put together the whole Christmas story from the announcement of the birth of Christ, some of the Old Testament prophecies, to the actual birth of Christ and the events that take place all the way up to the wise men and until Jesus goes into the temple at 12 years old. And it reads as one continuous narrative, even though it's Old and New Testament, it's Gospels, it's Pauline epistles, it's all kinds of things. But it's amazing how, when I look at it, how seamlessly it can go together in one narrative, even though you're bringing pieces from other, you know, books of the Bible together. And so I'm glad that you're getting some use out of it.
Yeah, I've read this quite a few times, actually. I was actually considering memorizing the whole booklet.
Wow, that would be better than I could do, that's for sure. and also, as a program note, we will be reading that on the air on our Christmas Eve program, so in a few weeks. So, we'll be talking about that more over the course of the next couple of weeks, several weeks. So.
I was going to mention, sorry, go ahead.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was going to bring up a subject. I don't know how much time to get other callers.
I got a few minutes before we get to the top of the hour. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to mention that about the divorce. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been meaning to bring this subject up about marriage and divorce.
Yeah.
And when there's supposed to be only one reason for divorce, and that's adultery.
Yeah.
Okay, I just lost my speaker out of my...
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, there's only one reason for divorce, and that's, for somebody that commits adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here that... it says that, if a man divorces his wife, he and that wife gets remarried, causes that woman to commit adultery.
Yeah, in fact, let me read this for you in Matthew chapter 19 here, where it's talking about that. And let me just go up a little bit further here, where the Pharisees are asking him a question in chapter 19, Matthew 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Meaning for the least little thing, because they basically were to the point where they could just basically, they were unhappy with their wife. They could say, I think they had to say, I divorced thee three times, and they could divorce her. And so Jesus begins talking about the purpose of marriage and how God created it. And then they respond in verse 7. They say to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And this is Jesus' response in verse 8. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, that's where we're talking about adultery, because adultery is a form of fornication, except it be for fornication, it shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. And this is, you know, what Jesus said about it here. And this is why there are many people who would look at this and they would say that divorce would not be biblical except in the case of adultery, or, you know, because adultery is fornication outside of the bounds of marriage, you know, where one or both of the individuals is married. So for a married man to have a sexual relationship with another woman that's not his wife, that would be adultery. And likewise, right, for the woman to do that, that would be adultery. That'd be fornication as well, but it's also adultery. Two unmarried people, that would be fornication, but not adultery. But if one or both of them was married, that would be adultery. And but God says that if the wife commits adultery, and I would assume that you could go the other way too, if the husband committed adultery, that would be grounds for that, because if they divorced them for any other reason, and then she remarries, she would now be committing adultery, and her new husband would be committing adultery, because it wouldn't have been a valid divorce in God's eyes. It would be the idea here. So,
yeah, I've been reading a lot of teachings on all this.
Yeah. So it's a controversial subject. A lot of churches are deeply divided over this, and I know we're coming up on the break here in probably about a minute or so, but this is something that I think a lot of churches are struggling with, and especially in the day in which we live, where there are so many people who live together that don't even get married, and they establish families, and then they may or may not actually legally, formally marry, and what does that constitute? Are they married in the eyes of God? And so a lot of difficulty, and this is something that churches have to deal with. And there's some cases where some churches may have to take a stricter stance on this. I remember a missionary who was working down in Central or South America, where it was routine for men to have several wives, and when they preached the gospel and people got saved, they said, well, we can't have all these wives. And so they divorced their wives, except for one. And I think in most cases, they stayed with the first one. And then a lot of men who were like sort of second class in a sense, they ended up marrying some of those women. And the only people that you had to choose from in the church were people who had been involved in a sense in a type of divorce. But it can get confusing, it can get difficult. But hey, Terry, we're out of time here. I want to thank you for calling in tonight, and maybe we'll look at this again in a future program. But everybody stay tuned. We'll be here till midnight tonight. We're just going to take a short break. Recently, the British crown passed from Queen Elizabeth to King Charles. America has no monarchy. We have a constitutional republic. Our sovereign is we the people. President Reagan said in 1983, the founding fathers understood that only by making government the servant, not the master, only by positing sovereignty in the people and not the state, can we hope to protect freedom. But who advises the sovereign? President Coolidge answered in 1926, the principles of human relationship which went into the Declaration of Independence are found in the texts, the sermons, and the writings of the early colonial clergy who were earnestly undertaking to instruct their congregations in the great mystery of how to live. Today's pastors should follow the example of their colonial forefathers, reminding us that God is the highest power and government officials are the lesser. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's make government subject unto the higher powers again.